Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're also taking your reaction to hockey's return to play plan. But you know who's been first? Well, UFC with three fight cards in a week's time in Jacksonville, Florida, and now gearing up for another series of events on the West Coast, if not Las Vegas. Then they're talking about Arizona and NASCAR, who is in this 2-week stretch where they're running 7 races in 11 days, and they're using 2 tracks, first at Darlington. So they moved on from Darlington, South Carolina, to Charlotte, North Carolina, where they had a 607-mile race on Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, the Coca-Cola 600. They're doing it without fans, and they're offering a blueprint for the other sports who are watching their health and safety protocols and what it looks and sounds like to have empty stands. Well, I wanted to take you behind the scenes. So we managed to schedule an interview with veteran driver Kurt Busch. I talked to him earlier on Tuesday. He was very generous with his time, thoughtful with his answers. And so I'm excited to share that conversation with you. I started out by asking Kurt, what has this experience, this return that you could never have anticipated, been like for you?
Well, it's great to be back in action and to be racing and to, you know, feel those competitive juices and the teamwork and all that that's going on. But in all honesty, it's a privilege to be out there right now. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world with a lot of unknown and don't have a job. And for me, it's really a spot for NASCAR to shine and to reflect and to be out there up front, being that beacon of light for other sports to try to follow. There's a good bit of responsibility with everything going on. So really happy that we're at track and we've got 3 races under our belt now and a nice process that everybody's following to keep the protocol in check.
What is the responsibility of NASCAR? You mentioned that you know, the sports world is watching. So what do you feel like the responsibility of your sport is right now?
Well, it's to come off with no problems and to create a set of what you would call guidelines, so to speak, on how to keep everybody safe as far as how we travel, how we egress into the track and departures as well. And then the different departments, you know, like the pit crew guys, not coming in contact with any of them. Our engineering staff is staying home, doing everything remotely. We have our mechanics that are working on the cars that work in different shifts at the race shop. And so it would be just like having your offense and your defense and your special teams and everybody somewhat in different areas, but still collaborating together as a team. But then you have the sponsors, the TV broadcast partners, the sanctioning body, everybody that has to go through the testing procedures and the protocols. It's a heavy effort, but we're all doing it together and trying to, you know, carry our sport out to the front and making a good headway to show that other sports can follow it.
Kurt, you mentioned having the privilege of being able to race and be out there when so many other sports are still shuttered and are not back, and a lot of people don't have jobs. But what's the biggest challenge now, carrying that responsibility? Yes, but the biggest challenge in terms of, you know, trying to be successful and carry on as a sport when everything is so different.
You know, there's the different emotions that go through it. And then there's the frustrations of not having a normal sequence. And that's where you just have to take a step back and go, you know, we're going to have our fans back eventually. And we hope that, you know, it starts at a limited capacity. And then we have, you know, different hospitality areas that might open for some of the VIPs and the sponsors. And, you know, just like this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, you know, the infield is empty and there's not our fans there grilling out and having their barbecues going and, you know, playing horseshoes or cornhole and just having that family atmosphere. That's a huge, you know, disappointment that we don't have at the track for our fans. And so it's just going to take those steps to get everybody back in sync and in sequence. And we're going to start to travel to a little bit further away racetracks soon. And that's going to come with some responsibility and some hurdles that we're all going to have to jump over as well.
When I'm watching on TV, it seems eerie before the engine starts because it's so quiet, especially at a big speedway. When do you notice the silence the most?
Oh, shoot. It's just pulling into the racetrack day of, and there's no traffic. But yet we're sitting in a line, you know, for different screenings as far as, you know, where we're going to enter the track and where we can go once we get there. And, yes, it's deathly quiet. And until we start the engines up, that's the difference. And then once the race is over, it hits you back again of there's the reality in front of you that we're missing our race fans. But we just performed in front of millions that have tuned in for some people the first time ever
right, to
watch our race. And so we're hitting so many different new markets and people in the right way. And I hope that creates that draw and that intrigue for when our grandstands open back up, where people have seen it for the first time. Now they got to come and feel it at track.
Kurt Busch is a NASCAR Cup Series driver. Top 10 finish at Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to talk about Charlotte because you had the poll, but if you don't mind, for people who are, as you say, kind of checking the sport out for the first time, what is that procedure like when you get to the track? So you're in a line, you have a certain check-in time, but when you get into your garage or when you get into the area where you're working on the cars, what's that like?
Well, for right now, the quarantine and the self-isolation process for us at the track is the drivers can only go to their motorhome, to their specific what you'd call locker room, and I'm away from all of my crew.
Oh, wow.
And so I have all of my driver gear, my safety equipment, my PPE equipment, and then I even do my own water bottles right now and bring out Yeah. I mean, I've got every job going on right now with like old school, getting your gear ready, washing things after the races, changing the visors, filling up the water bottles, you name it. And it's then a check-in via team viewer. And then we head out to the race cars literally 10 minutes before they fire up the engines is when they want us at the car and we come in minimum contact with people.
Mm. You mentioned your gear. I happen to see on your Twitter, did you wear the wrong suit for qualifying?
I did. I was on a Zoom call double checking with the actual live qualifying on what information we were downloading. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to get out to the car. I only have 15 minutes. And I grabbed a suit right off the hanger that looked like the right suit, but it was last year's. And so it was a fun mistake. Had to make fun of myself because we actually now have a pole position with the wrong suit on.
Right. So you get out there, and for Darlington, there was no practice. There was no qualifying. At least for Charlotte, you get to qualify. But what about this experience of jumping in the car, firing it up, and just, as you say, letting it rip when you're out there for one lap?
I'm glad I have 20 years of experience to bounce ideas off my own self. I mean, there's a lot of self-questioning going on with people's minds right now. And so I knew that I've done it before, and you rely on your team to gather the right data and for them to build a great car and to have the setup as good as it was. I mean, that's what you can only wish for, and we had that. We had a chance to win the pole, and we did it. And it takes that good teamwork to get it done from Chip Ganassi Racing.
So you then grab the pole and lead the first 50-plus laps, and there's a rain delay. What I know you managed to get back into the top 10, but what changed after that hour plus?
As far as the race itself, the complexion changed with temperature. It was much cooler out after the rain delay. The track was beginning to then take rubber from all the tires. And our setup lacked a few different categories. And so, yeah, we fell back a little bit. The pit stops weren't as sharp as they needed to be. I got bottled up a few times trying to make some moves out on the track. And then late in the race, we were able to stabilize the setup, made some better moves on restarts, and we clawed our way back in to finish seventh. And so it was a good comeback. But again, we just have to fine-tune some of the other areas to be able to be in contention to win more often.
Veteran NASCAR Cup Series driver Kurt Busch, a conversation that I recorded with him just a couple of hours ago where he had a few quiet moments. NASCAR Cup drivers are racing again at Charlotte on Wednesday night. And it's really funny to hear him talk about washing his own water bottles and pulling his own gear and all of the stuff that he's not used to doing. But the teams and the drivers are not allowed to have their assistants with them, their PR people. They're essentially on their own in their mobile homes once they get to the track. And to hear him talk about the deathly silence, the eerie quiet, and you don't even get out to your car until 10 minutes before they fire up the engines. I mean, all of that is so different for these guys. So even as you hear Aaron Donald say, there's no way I can play without fans. It'll be so different. There won't be that same life in the stadium. Well, these NASCAR drivers, they're feeling the same thing. And once they start the engines, yeah, you don't hear nearly as much from the fans that would normally be in the stands. But every other piece of what they're doing is completely different. So I appreciate Kurt taking us behind the scenes a little bit. Now, we've got more with Kurt. Why the Memorial Day Sunday experience was so important for him and for NASCAR, even without the fans. And also the challenges of working as a team when you can't actually be with your team. So good to share this conversation with Kurt Busch. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's our Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Spending a few minutes with veteran driver Kurt Busch, and really interesting to get his peek behind the curtain of what it's like to be at the track, and having to follow all of these safety guidelines and various protocols. I also asked him about the collaboration that normally occurs with teams. So for people who don't know, in NASCAR, a lot of drivers share information with other members of their team. It's a team sport. You've got one owner that maybe has multiple cars that are racing. And so I asked Kurt, how much are they actually able to work together under these new circumstances?
Yeah, for us at Chip Ganassi Racing, we have two cars that are out there together, me and Matt Kenseth. And so those meetings that we have, there's extra meetings where we're trying to communicate amongst the different members of the team. And, you know, we have our pit stop coach, who's the manager of both of the pit stop groups that jump over the wall. And so there's just extra digital meetings. There's extra emails. There's extra information. And that's what we're all doing. And then there's those quick phone calls where you just literally just check in. You know, hey, we're sticking with the plan. We're going to do this. We're going to pit then, and we'll roll with it. And so it's just it's kind of like racing right now with a different language. But at the end of the day, when you're in sync with your team and with your car, everything zones back into the same feelings.
It was unexpected for Matt to get back behind the wheel. Something that he said, he was kind of nervous, and it was a little weird to be thrown back into the car after the delay. But what's it mean to you to have another experienced veteran as a teammate now?
Matt was a great choice. Matt Kenseth and I were champions early in our careers and teammates with each other at Roush Racing way back. And so it's fun to rekindle that friendship. As well as the years of experience that we have to help, you know, different things happen at Ganassi. You know, we're still learning, though. That's something that all drivers have to continue to do, no matter what point they are in their career, is to learn. And so for him, he's getting over that hill of being outside the car for a while. And once he gets that settled, there's going to be the team development. And then I think by midsummer, you know, Kenseth and the 42 car are going to be running on all eight cylinders, so to speak, and they're going to be a tough group to beat.
It's hard to work together, even under the current circumstances, where you at least have some time at the track. But what were you doing over the course of the 2+ months where you couldn't get behind the wheel and really couldn't do a whole lot and didn't know when NASCAR would be able to return?
It seemed like the days went by so fast, yet there was nothing on the calendar and nothing scheduled for a little while. And, you know, I met a group of buddies that are on the Peloton as far as the cardio that I know that I need to commit to for my workout training. So that was good to challenge myself in a new category. Again, the workout still with a virtual trainer that would just kind of send us a few of the exercises that we didn't remember or didn't recognize. But me and my wife, she's an athlete, and she's always pushing herself to do new things in the gym, and the two of us kept it fresh, kept it real, and then the iRacing thing took off, and that was a new element of balance, trying to sort through the specifics and then also some of the things that were off just a little bit with the iRacing, and those things you have to ignore not to create bad habits.
Kurt Busch with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It was pretty crazy how much people got into the iRacing. And I know that there is this whole esports, faction out there where people really enjoy this. But for you guys, it kind of became a big deal on Sundays to replace the racing. How much fun did you have doing that?
It was a blast because of something new and something different and making the time go by a little bit. I felt like, you know, after my first race, I'm like, this I need to take a bit more serious. These kids have 1,000+ starts. I mean, I just ran my first race, and I was pretty far behind. And so as a competitor, you put in that effort. You go after it. And I literally hired an IT guy, and we were out practicing late at night a few times. We're trying to change the balance of some of the settings. And then you have the radio communication with a live guy helping you spot through the different parts of the track and the different competitors. So we took it as serious as we could. I mean, I literally put on my driving gloves and my driving shoes to stay in that zone.
But it was not something that you had done a lot of before this time, really at all.
I mean, I think the last time I played an Xbox or a PlayStation was the early 2000s, due to my age. But I grew up a gamer. I had a Nintendo. I hammered away at Excitebike and a few of the racing games. And so I had it in me. It was deep in there.
So, Kurt, I heard Jimmy Johnson mention that he actually used it as practice because you guys went cold turkey at Darlington. You didn't have any time behind the wheel before you actually had to take those first caution laps. So how much do you feel like it's realistic and actually preparation for what you see at the track?
You know, you would be amazed, the simulation models that they have for the tracks and the bumps and the groove and the overall shape of everything. General Motors has a $1 million simulator here in the Charlotte region for the drivers to use, and it's a two-way street. They help us develop, and we help them develop. And from that category of simulation models, that's how iRacing was created. And with the iRacing app and the way it communicates to the computer and then the sims that you can buy at home, for, you know, hundreds of dollars all the way up to $50,000.
Whoa!
That's what drivers were putting their time in and on. And right now I use mine to brushing up on the track before we head there because we don't have practice. And so you just want to visually get the setting right in your brain because, you know, for Darlington, literally I can jump in my sim and I feel like I am in Darlington, South Carolina.
Wow.
And when I spend a couple hours on that sim and I come out of the sim, you have to catch your bearings real quick. You're like, oh, I'm just here at my house in Charlotte. But I literally was zoning in with the track through the simulator.
Do the wrecks feel as realistic?
I close my eyes. I don't like the wrecks. I don't like wrecks, period. Put it that way, but T-Rex on the simulator.
Kurt Busch spending a few minutes with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't mind, I want to ask you about the experience of meeting with the family of the U.S. Navy member that you represented on your car at the Coca-Cola 600. And, you know, you surprised them. But what was that experience like? What did it mean to you, Kurt?
NASCAR started a program a few years ago to honor a fallen soldier. And to do the program through all branches of the military, you don't know who you'll end up with. And you want to showcase it the best way possible. And our team at Ganassi did a great job to invite the family of Greaser, who was the military member that we had honored this past week, to come to the race shop and to take pictures with the car because they couldn't be at track.
Right.
And they told me they were going to be there, and I'm like, my schedule's open. I'm going to come in and surprise them. And it's an emotional feeling to meet the family who is missing a part of their family who has served for our great country. And so it's my small way to give back and to say thank you and take a few pictures and spend a few moments sharing a couple stories. And on our race car this year with Greaser on there, his partnership with Ganassi is one of our crew guys, who's the electrician's master for some of the equipment we use in the car. His dad served with Greaser, and that's what made it that much more special to give him that honor and remembered situation this past weekend.
Wow, that is amazing. What an awesome connection. NASCAR always does an amazing job honoring military as well as paying tribute to the United States and the, you know, the people who are on the front lines. When you think about that and then everything else that's gone on over the past couple of weeks, how proud are you of your sport, Kurt?
It's amazing. Everybody has collaborated so well to create the effort for us to get back to track. And I've always said, you know, NASCAR, I think, is one of the most patriotic sporting groups out there with the way our pre-race ceremonies are conducted. You know, the tracks and the sanctioning body have to commit to these flyovers. And it's great to have the different symbolic value all the way around. And we were missing quite a bit of that this past Memorial Day. But I know, everybody could feel it. And there was that moment of silence at halfway where we all drove into the pit road and shut the engines off. That's pretty powerful. And those are moments when I'm sitting in the car and you can feel that jolt of energy go through you.
And I guess, not that you ever did, but I think for those of us who are watching from the outside or can't attend, we'll never take for granted this opportunity to go. And when we have the chance to get back, and I assume as athletes, you won't ever take for granted the fans, being there and being part of the experience.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling right now. We know that they're there with us in spirit, but it's empty and we miss everybody. And so we're hopeful that, you know, someday soon there'll be a certain step and process for everybody to get to come back. And will we ever get back to 100%? Who knows? But it's something that we always have in NASCAR. Something that we always have is that loyalty and that brand awareness that our fans love to give to their favorite driver or their favorite team. And the NASCAR fans are the best out there.
Well, it's great to spend a couple of minutes with you. I look forward to that time, too, when the tracks are full again in the midst of everything you've got going on. Thank you for answering all of my questions, Kurt. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. You got it. It was a fun chat. Thanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.